Hallelujah. What a story. Amen. Come here, Joe Bob. Give us a testimony. What happened to you yesterday here at school during exaltation? Give us a testimony. What took place?
Well, Saturday afternoon, my wife and I were working out, and I partially dislocated my left shoulder and tore the rotator cuff. It just ripped. And I knew what it was because it happened to me about 25 years ago. But I just kept, my wife and kids laid hands on me and we prayed. We even, I taught healing, you know, and then we sat there and we used those verses that God had pointed out to me. And we prayed and they laid hands on me. Sunday morning, I'm standing up here in choir and the anointing of healing is so strong. So I raised my hand again. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. You know, I think I put in the email, you can't overdose on God. And yesterday morning in exaltation on the second song, I just felt the presence of God come over me so heavily. At first, I kind of sat down on the bench. Then I was just dropped to my knees. Then I dropped to my face. And I just started praising God in tongues, praying out mysteries, not knowing what I'm doing. I'm just talking in tongues. I'm singing. I'm praying. I'm just praising Him. Then I start to get up. I kind of feel a release. I don't know what of, you know, whatever I'm praying. Yeah, I got a release. And I sense the Holy Spirit telling me, I believe that a well man would raise his arm. And so I raised my left arm.
Hallelujah.
And immediately, I felt the tissue knitting together right here. Just, God is so good.
Amen.
We got such a good Father.
Amen.
So, you know, glory to God.
This is my story. Let's sing that
this
again.
This is my story. This is my song.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior.
You're our Savior. When you saved us, you just didn't free us from sin. You freed us from the power of sin and the dominion of sin. And you freed us from the sin's power to inflict sickness and disease upon our body. And by your stripes, we are healed, Lord. And you freed us from sin's power to keep us in poverty and lack. And so by your glory, all of our needs are met because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. And you freed us from the dominion of sin so that we could be holy and without blame before you in love. This is our story. This is our song. We will praise you, Lord. We will praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You alone are worthy of all the praise and all the glory, for you are good. You are a good God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Well, just praising. Glory to God. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. You alone are worthy of all praise, all the honor, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. In his presence, the Bible says there is fullness of joy. Answers await in the presence of God. Ha, ha. Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Father. You hala mashiach. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. We praise you, our healer. We praise you, our deliverer. Hallelujah. We praise you, our provider. We praise you, our peace. We praise you, our joy. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. I want to sing that again, but instead of singing praising my Savior, let's sing praising my healer. All the day long. Let's sing it. This is my story. Is torn, all the limb, it's torn. He couldn't lift his arm, but because he knows that we know there's a healer, he did what he could not do. I challenge you right now, do what you could not do right now. If there's something you could not do, just do it. That healing power is working in you right now. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. If you couldn't run, run. You couldn't jump, jump. You couldn't shout, shout. Glory to God. If you couldn't spin, spin around, glory to God. Do what you couldn't do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bend over if you couldn't bend over. Stretch your hands out. Do what you couldn't do. The healing power of God. He is our healer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we honor you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I thank God. You know, God wants to meet all of our needs. My friend in
Kenya, he says this. He said, God wants to meet you at the point of your need. What he's trying to say is wherever your faith is, God wants to meet you there. What you can reach out and take hold of. You know, there's several methods in the Bible given the New Testament whereby we can receive our healing. Amen. Sometimes we get locked into the laying on of hands, and thank God for the laying on of hands. But you don't have to have hands laid on you necessarily. Now, his family had laid hands on him, and so praise God, he recovered, right? Just like he said. But when he was here, no one touched him. No one said he did what the Lord told him to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if it worked for him, it'll work for you. God's no respecter of persons. Glory to God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with two or three people. Tell them God is my healer. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you all. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, you know, this Sunday, you know, we get to see a lot of people we don't get to see a lot of times because it's Easter. I don't like that, brother. Can we call it resurrection? Call it whatever you want. Just don't get mad at other people call it something else. But we know we'll get to see a lot of folks that don't necessarily come out. And I know pastor's got a powerful message for them. So let's be believing God that people will hear exactly what they need to hear, that pastor will say exactly what they need to hear to make a decision for Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight I want us to open up to John chapter 13. And I want to talk about the love walk tonight. But I want to do it from a standpoint. You know, I think most Christians know that we're supposed to love others. But here just recently in studying along these lines and studying some other things as I was just looking, I saw something I hadn't seen before. It'd been there all along. It was there. Just I hadn't seen it. And I kind of want to share a little bit of that with you tonight concerning some things and what really the difference is. You know, now we know God loves us perfectly. Is that right? He is love. And that same love's been shed abroad in our hearts. So potentially, each of us can love like God loves. Now, the difference between us and God is the wisdom and understanding on how to apply love in every situation. But I want to see tonight some steps that we can take to get to that place. All right, but let's start here in John 13, verse 34. Jesus speaking here after what we call the last, you know, Judas has gone off and to do what he did. And Jesus says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I know one of my lab sermons as a second year Raymond student was loving one another, key to world evangelism. Because he said here, if you love each other, all will know that you're my disciples. All will know. How's the world going to know we're Christians? How's the world going to know we're like Christ? Because we love like he loves. Amen? And so he gives us this commandment. Now notice he says a new commandment. This is, if you look, and we're not going to look in 1 John 3 for that verse, but he said, this is the commandment. He said, what is the commandment of the new covenant? First of all, we believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Can't get saved without that. And that you love one another as he has loved us, as he gave us commandment. Now, in looking at this, we're not going to spend a lot of time, but how did Jesus love us? He laid down his life for us, right? This type of love is selfless. Would you agree? The love of God. Let's look at here at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul talking here by the Spirit of God to the saints and the faithful in Christ about who they are and what the plan of redemption and all that. And then he gets here in verse 15 and says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. See, that's about what John said. That you believe on the name of his son, Jesus, and that you love one another as he gave commandment. Here Paul said, he said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Then he talks about, I pray this prayer for you. See, the proof to him that they were the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus was not just their faith in the Lord Jesus, it was in their love for all the saints. All right? How many of you know there should be evidence in our lives? Okay, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Walking in love. You know, and I've done it myself. I've preached sermons about how we should walk in love. But you know, how many of you know that it's good to say, not just to say you have to, let's give some steps on how to. Okay, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now, it's interesting there. He uses that term brotherly love, which is the word Philadelphia, which is, if we say it the way we'd say it here in the United States. And then he uses the word agape in that latter part of the verse. But he says, as touching loving the brotherhood or loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, he said, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. In other words, to love with that love of God. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without. That you may have lack of nothing. Glory to God. What a possibility that is. But I want you to notice here, he said, you've been taught that, but he said, I want you to increase more and more. We ought to, our love walk ought to be increasing more and more in our ability to properly apply the love of God in every relationship to every person, no matter who they are. The love of God, to love people with the love of God. Now, one of the things I will say this, look at this in verse 11. He said, be quiet and do your own business. You know, it's a whole lot easier for me to, you know, to love Komar and Jay and William here in the front row and their spouses. But I'll just pull, you ladies, I'll leave you out of this. When I stay out of their business. You don't like that? I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. Mind your own business. Now, here's why. Because if I'm not minding my own business, then I'm always comparing myself with you. And when I compare myself with you, then I open myself up to strife and jealousy with you. Because the tendency is where you look good, that makes me look bad. See, mind your own business. One of the keys to walking in love is mind your own business. Until you need to do business on behalf of that person. Okay? And walk in love towards them and show the love of God. But mind your own business. All right. Praise the Lord. We'll go right on from that one. Okay? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. See, this is a commandment from God that we love one another. It's not a, when God gives a command, that means there's no option to it. And really, every step out of love is a step into rebellion or rebelling against God. We could say into sin, but we understand that, you know, we're not trying to sin. But when I don't love you and I haven't obeyed the commandment, what have I done? Okay? I've neglected the Word of God. I've walked away from the Word of God. But a lot of times, I know with me, it's not the willingness that I miss it in, it's the knowing how. It's the understanding. It's the revelation that I need. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. And here in 1 Peter 4, he's been talking about the end of all things that is at hand. And he gets to verse 8 and says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That word charity, this word agape or love. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Shall cover or will cover. Shall cover, will cover the multitude of sins. Found this out about the love of God. The love of God's not that interested in exposing sin in people. Now you think about John chapter 8. Jesus is there, and these religious leaders come and bring a woman, throw her down at Jesus' feet, and say, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And the law says she should be stoned. And Jesus, it said they wanted, and they did this not because they cared for her, not because they loved her, but it says they did this that they might have some way to accuse him. Because why? They knew he was merciful. They knew he was compassionate, and they knew he wasn't gonna condemn her. But Jesus, here again, having the wisdom of God and the understanding of God and how do I operate in this time, he just gets down and starts writing, you know. Ed Elliott thinks he was playing tic-tac-toe with an angel or something, or him and the Holy, whatever. I don't know what he was writing in the... Some people say he was writing everybody's sins. He's not writing everybody's sins because God forgives everybody's sins. But he tells them, okay, you who are without sin, you can cast the first stone. And the Bible says something very interesting. He said, from the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their stone that they had picked up. They all wanted to participate. I mean, hey, throwing rocks at somebody is a lot of fun. Any of you kids, when you're a kid, throw a rock at somebody? But they're wanting to kill this lady. And so they all left. They didn't go far, though, because later on it says Jesus. But Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? She said, there are none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more, he said. You see, this is probably the first time in this woman's life a representative of God or a godly person had ever shown her what true love is about. I don't condemn you. Go and sin, live a sinless life. Don't sin anymore. See, what was going to give her the ability to live a sinless life knowing that God didn't condemn her and that she was loved by God? Okay? But see, he had the wisdom there. So fervent. I like this in 1 Peter 4:8. Have fervent means red hot love. Red hot God. I mean, it burns within you. That love of God is so burning on the inside, I've got to show it to somebody. I've got to love with the love of God. I can't help it. It's burning on the inside of me. Paul talked about a fire. The prophet talked about a fire shut up in his bones. He had to preach. Well, we ought to have a fire shut up in our bones that we've got to love. We've got to give a place for this love. I got to love somebody. Okay? With the love of God. Not in a selfish love, not based on what you can do for me if I love you, but based on what I can do for you because of that love. Now look at 1 John chapter 3. The love of God. Thank God it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5 says, it's in you. It's in us. You don't need more love than you already have. You've got the love of God in you. What more love do you need? It's in you. See, we just got to use what we have. Use what we have. Now, we can increase in it, but it's not increasing what we have, but it's increasing in the action of it. Increasing in the walking in it. Here in 1 John 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Now, how many of you know that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Colossians says we've been delivered from death unto life. Here he says, we know we have evidence because we love. See, that love should be the evidence that we are new creatures in Christ. And so don't abide in death. Don't hate your brother. Whoso hates his brother, he says in verse 15, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now see, here's the thing as a Christian. You may think you hate somebody, but you don't. Look on the inside. On the inside, you love that person. And if you live from the inside out instead of the outside in, you'll have the ability to do it. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath, now he gets real practical. But whoso has the world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? And he goes on and says, brother, let's not love in just word, but let's love in deed. Let's practice. Let there be actions to what we do and in our love, right? There ought to be evidence. See, it's not about me. It's about the love of God in me, and it's about helping that other person. All right? So here's what I've been seeing here. Let's go to, first of all, Ephesians chapter 3. And this is something, and I don't know why. I mean, I've been teaching the book of Ephesians and teaching this prayer for, more years than I can think. I mean, I started teaching this class, put together my first notes on this class back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, teaching it in church, a class on the book of Ephesians, and going over this prayer. And I don't know what, just here recently, it just hit me. Well, that's my answer right there. If I'm struggling in prayer, I've got to pray and ask God to help. Now, you think that would be something we'd all know, but how many of you know we know stuff and sometimes we don't live by it? So number one, how are you going to walk in this kind of love? You're going to have to pray that God help you and have God. Now, look what he says. Look at this prayer. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, talking about foundation, isn't he? That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Then he goes on, to him be glory in the church. Now, it's interesting to me that Paul said, I take time to pray that you would have revelation concerning the love of Christ, and that you would have revelation so much that you could, your life would be rooted and grounded in love. Not in two areas. First of all, that God loves you. But then second of all, that love of God's in me for others, so that I can fulfill and I can be God's ambassador here on the earth. Amen. Now listen to me. Every one of us should be able to say, because we got the same spirit that Jesus did, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Because we're told in Ephesians 5 to imitate God as dear children. Amen. To pray. So Paul's praying this, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. So I've got to take this. Father, I pray that you would grant me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man, that Christ would dwell and fill it home in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all your saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. See, I'm praying that. Well, how many of you know, do you believe that God hears and answers your prayer? First John 5 says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of him. Well, is this his will? It's in his word. So if I pray this, all right? Okay, go to Philippians chapter 1. Glory to God. Praying this way. Here, Paul, we see this again. It's not just automatic that you're going to walk in love because you're a Christian. Not just automatic. Something that we're going to have to do. Now, verse 9, Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Here, I'm going to read it from the King James, then I want to read it from the Message Bible. It says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I've got a little note here in my Bible, and it says that instead of judgment, it could be sense, basically common sense. that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto glory and praise of God. Now here again, Paul praying for Christians that what? That their love, what? That love of God shed abroad in the heart would abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That message says, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Now you hear people, you know, well, you know, we just got to love, and you can't point out that that's sin or this. Well, you just got to love. Look, love. Listen to me. Love. We're told to speak the truth in love. Okay. See, loving you is not letting you drive your car over the cliff just because I'm going to love you, bro. I love you, brother. I know you're going, the road's out, but just go ahead, brother. I love you. Amen? I like that, whoever that was. Amen. Do that again. Okay. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 3. Here's a third time. A third time that the Apostle Paul prayed concerning this love. I don't think that's insignificant. All right? So, my number one key to be able to walk in is to pray these prayers for yourself. Then as Paul prayed in front, well, how about praying for others too, right? It's not just about, but praying them for yourself. Here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13, now he's talking here about that he prays night and day, he prays exceedingly. You know, he's praying for them. He's talking about prayer. And he gets down here and says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you. To the end, here's the end game of that. Here's what's going to be the result of that. That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. But notice, he's praying that we would increase and abound in love. So constantly, a year from now, if Jesus tarries, I'm going to be increased and I'm going to be abounding in more love towards others than I am this year. And I'm going to have more wisdom and revelation on how to do it. I'm going to have more knowledge, more discernment on how to practice and how to implement that love for you. The way to take the power of God and help you with it. To take the word of God and help you with it. To take whatever my life consists of, my time, my energies, my strengths, my resources, and help you with it. Lay it down to help you. I have to have knowledge. See, sometimes people think they're loving somebody and they bankrupt themselves. God never told you to do that, I wouldn't think. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just going to love. Well, you got to have discernment. You think you're loving somebody, and they got five or six people loving them that way. And they're better off than you. You've been conned. How many know you can't con God? So number one, I'm going to pray this way. But then number two, along with this, I'm going to learn how to be in discernment, learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to look at things from the inside. I'm going to let my spirit lead me and guide me in this. I'm going to look it down. How many of you know every time the spirit leads me, it's going to be in line with the word of God? And number two, Jesus is going to be the one that gets glorified. You see, if I'm loving you, it's not, oh, praise Brother Tad. If I'm loving you with the love of God, it's praise Jesus. See, because I'm not going to make it about myself. I can't make it about myself and love you with the love of God. So I'm gonna pray, but then I'm also gonna be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm gonna be sensitive. Now, one of the things I find, you have to go back again, Then you go back to Ephesians 1 and pray that prayer, that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. Well, how many of you can see from the word, we're all called to love others, right? How do we do that, God? What is the riches of the glory of your inheritance? What's the exceeding greatness of your power to me who believes according to the working of his mighty power? Now, did you notice in Ephesians, let's go back there. We'll end with this tonight as we're about out of time. Ephesians chapter 3 in that prayer. Rooted and grounded in love, he prayed. Comprehending the four-dimensional aspects. Means, what does that mean? It's beyond just natural, this natural. It's beyond what we normally see. What the love of Christ is that passes all human knowledge. And that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Then in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly according, above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now I find it interesting that he prayed that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would understand that love of Christ that passes knowledge before he mentioned the power that works in us. I've heard Brother Hagin say it, you don't walk in love, you're not going to walk in the power of God. To the extent that I understand love is to the extent that power is going to be in operation. Amen. Because I've got flesh just like you. And my flesh, I got to train. And it's selfish just like yours is. And it'll make it about me every time it wants it to be about it. Your flesh wants it to be about it every time. Amen. It wants you to stay in bed every morning. It wants you to buffet your body every day. It doesn't want you to buffet it. It doesn't want you to present it to God a living sacrifice. Amen. But when I'm rooted and grounded in love, then I can let that power work through, because love is never about myself. It's always about others. And then that power can flow through me and it'll help meet my needs, but it also, it's there to meet the needs of others. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're right at our time here. Glory to God. All right, we're going to receive this special love offering for our dear First Lady of our church, Mrs. Hagin. Praise God. And, her birthday coming up here. I don't know. She's 50 again for I don't know how many years. She's just 50. We don't even ask. She's just 50. Okay. I know Craig said he turns 50 at camp meeting, so he doesn't know what she's going to do then. He goes, I'm 50 and you're 50. That's kind of strange, Mom. He said, I heard him tell her. So, but we're going to see this love offering up and, give it to her there. Birthday is the 13th, is that correct, of next month? And so if you want a text to give now, 28950, you can just type in Hagin space in the amount. That's what I'm going to do tonight here. If you want to give, make a check out to Rhema Bible Church, put in an envelope, put a birthday offering on there, something of that sort. If you want to give cash, you can do that, obviously. Okay, here. It's been submitted, it's processing, and it's been received. Praise the Lord. All right? So, now, up until you say, well, I don't have any time, but any service, any time, you can text to give anytime, but anytime, be bringing something in, okay? Say, well, I don't have to. Believe God for something, for God to put something in your hand, to sow and to be a blessing, to give honor to whom honor's due. All right? That's why we do this. You can tell you, all the staff will tell you, they don't want us to do this, okay? In fact, they tell us, don't you get, but we don't. That's one area we disobey because we want to honor them. Okay. All right. Let's hold our offerings there. Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we have to give. Father, as we give tonight, we do so out of love and honor for the life of Mrs. Hagin, our dear First Lady of the church. Father, we thank you as we give tonight, this offering, as it all comes together, will be a great blessing. And we want her to know that she's loved and appreciated by us all. So, Father, tonight we give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for the gifts and callings on her life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So go ahead and serve the folks there. Praise the Lord. Don't we have great ushers tonight? Christian, could you use some more Wednesday night ushers? Hey, I know, I think all the services. Guys, help us out. Go out and sign up in the north lobby. Tell them you want to fill out a volunteer form. Tell them you want to help usher. Get yourself trained. Get to come to church and dress like 25 other guys. Hallelujah. They do a great job. We're so appreciative of them. Amen. We're going to have you stay seated till they can. It's just for safety's sake, okay? So they can do their job and get things taken care of. Go ahead, prayer team's going to come on down. Go ahead, guys, ladies and guys, you can come on down. Here in just a moment when we dismiss, if you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down. These ladies and men will pray with you according to the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because that's where your answers are going to be found, in God's Word. And they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Got them all collected, it looks like. Would our connection team find our first-time guests tonight? I know we had, Brother Bill had some first-time guests, that's right. Connection team, would you go with them, help them get that special gift? I'm prepared for them on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the entire Rhema Bible Church family. Thank you for coming. Now give them a big hand clap and say, we're so thankful for you. Let them get a little bit of a head start. All right, let's all stand up together. So be here Sunday morning. Well, are we having School of the Bible Sunday? Do we have School of the Bible? We do have School of the Bible on Sunday. And we're in service that day, Easter service, praise the Lord. How many of you grew up going to sunrise service? Oh, we used to, man. You know what I did after sunrise service? Went home and slept until Easter lunch. Or went home and had second breakfast. Thought I was a hobbit or something. Anyway, some of you will get that later. All right, God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight. We'll see you on Sunday.